Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Like, how do you plan to be a good mom and a good business owner at the same time? They're both full-time jobs. It got to a point where I had a very strategic, canned answer to these questions that kept on coming up. And I would say, if what you're asking is if I'm 100% dedicated to seeing this business succeed, then my answer is yes.
Rachel Drury comes from a long line of entrepreneurs. Her immigrant grandparents started a business when they got to the United States. Even more unique, her mother started a business too, so she grew up around women founders. Today, she's the founder and CEO of Daily Harvest, a young startup that sits at the intersection of nutrition and convenience. You think starting a business is hard? Well, it is. But Rachel started Daily Harvest when she was 7 months pregnant, then raised investment funds for the business when she was pregnant again. Her story is instructive for anyone who has wondered whether now is the right time to take a big career leap. I'm John Fort from CNBC, and you're listening to the Fort Knox podcast, Rich Ideas and Powerful People. I do this weekly, bringing you the highest achievers. We're going to learn how the very best climb to the top and pull out lessons along the way. If that sounds good to you, make this a habit. Apple's podcast app is the most popular way to do that, but there are all kinds of great ways. Mainly what I want you to do is subscribe, so this thing gets to you automatically. One less thing to worry about. Also, get a little closer. Subscribe to the Fort Knox YouTube channel at fortknox.com/YouTube. There you'll find videos of some of my favorite moments from these podcast interviews. I sat down with Rachel Drury at the NASDAQ market site in Times Square to get insight into a number of questions, including, is there ever an easy time to do a hard thing? I think you'll come away with a fresh appreciation for what you can get done if you've had the right preparation. Here's Rachel Drury.
What I say, Daily Harvest mission is to solve a modern eating dilemma. That modern eating dilemma is the desire for convenience, but without nutritional compromise. So we all want to be able to grab and go, but the options out there today to grab and go usually require some sort of compromise, whether it's, they're ultra pasteurized, ultra processed, hyper refined, whatever it is, there's some compromise generally, unless you're buying something that's fresh, which means it's going bad and you don't always have access to it. And the way that Daily Harvest is solving this problem is by using the freezer and frozen technology as kind of the vehicle. A lot of people associate frozen food, as you mentioned, with things like dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets, frozen pizzas. Gross. But there's a huge opportunity because things that are frozen are actually picked at their nutritional peak. So if you take a blueberry, for example, that was, that's in Whole Foods, let's say. The blueberry that's in Whole Foods was picked green. It's picked before it reaches its nutritional peak. It never has time to gain all the nutrients that, you and I think of when we think of a blueberry. And then what happens is it goes on this long journey to the end user. So it starts off on the farm. It's picked green. Then goes on a truck. The truck goes to a warehouse. The warehouse goes to the store. And by the time you have it in your refrigerator, it's pretty degraded in nutrient content.
So right now you're doing what, smoothies,
yes,
soups, and parfaits?
So smoothies, soups, parfaits, and nice cream is something that we just launched.
Nice cream?
Nice cream.
What is nice cream?
So nice cream is it's kind of picking up on Instagram and on social media right now, but it is ice cream made out of 100% fruits and vegetables. So you blend it yourself using bases like, bananas, coconut, some of those more healthy, fatty, higher starch fruits and vegetables.
And then no dairy.
No dairy.
It has that creamy
feel and the, the mouthfeel of ice cream, and it solves the craving.
So you say you always knew you wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom was an entrepreneur.
My mom was an entrepreneur.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so my mother started actually a chemical business, chemical bioresearch company, when she was younger.
Oh.
And, you know,
living where?
In New York.
Wow.
In New York, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I grew up kind of having a mom that was just always solving business problems at the dinner table, you know, on vacation. She was always on the phone. And, you know, something that was really, really unique about my upbringing is she kind of engaged my brother and I in those conversations from a very early age. And, you know, she would always pose questions to us like, you know, this is happening with, you know, X, Y, and Z. What would you do? When I was like 12 years old. Mm. You know, and it definitely put me in this entrepreneurial mindset from an early age. And I knew it was what I wanted to do. I wanted to solve problems for a living.
Did she start it before you were born? Or
yeah, way before
you,
I was born.
Way before you were born.
Yeah.
Where did she get that entrepreneurial bug?
From her parents.
All right.
From her parents, yeah. So, you know, back when my family came to America. From Russia.
Uh-huh.
Actually, yeah. They decided that they, you know, wanted to start what was then a small business, which now would be called a startup. You know, they started a chemical dye company.
Chemical. All the way back.
Also chemicals, yeah.
Okay.
So dyes, indigos, and things to dye, like towels and clothing, and, you know, support the budding industries of the time.
Is it an Ellis Island story?
It is an Ellis Island
Russia
story.
Russia to Manhattan, and
yep.
Those are your roots?
Yep.
Huh.
Yeah.
So now your business also has kind of a chemical root. You're talking about nutrients.
Yeah.
And the chemical makeup of food. When did you become interested in that?
Yeah. So I was actually an athlete growing up. I was a rower. And yes, I am short. But
you're the second short rower I've had.
That's great.
On Fort Knox.
But not a coxswain. So I was on the lightweight rowing team, crew team, and in high school, but also at my freshman year at Penn.
Okay.
And, you know, in order to be a rower, you have to fuel your body efficiently, and you have to know a lot about health and nutrition. It is a grueling sport. So, you know, I've always been really well-versed in health and nutrition, and I found that once I left, you know, the academic world and kind of went into the real world, I always had the aspiration to eat really well, as I had previously, but then real life sets in, and you just don't have the time, and that's really where Daily Harvest came from. It was my own personal desire to eat as I aspired to without the time to do it.
So at your peak athletic state,
yeah.
Tell me about your diet and the decisions you're making.
Yeah, so I would say very clean and lean. So, you know, I'm a big believer in, what's it called? I haven't thought about this in a really long time. But
that's right. You can just tell me about it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's this thing, it's like eating how our grandparents ate, basically. Mm. And it's all about, you know, if it didn't exist when your grandparents were making you their, you know, like immigrant, you know, inspired food, which is, you know, based in like, you know, what, using entire animals and using, you know, everything from, you know, having no waste, basically,
mm-hmm.
Then you probably shouldn't be eating it. So, you know, always eating things that were whole and unrefined and unprocessed, you know, and balancing and thinking about things like, you know, bone broths. Years ago that, you know, now it's super popular. You know, but that's always how I ate, and it was very nutrient dense.
What about the fruits and vegetables? Which are a lot of the
in abundance.
Raw materials you're using.
In abundance. So, you know, I do eat meat. Our products are vegan, but I do eat meat. And, you know, it's just for me about nutrient density, but, you know, my diet is first and foremost plant-based.
So you didn't come out of school and go directly into being an entrepreneur.
No.
You took a couple of different jobs that helped you learn.
Yeah.
Was that deliberate?
It was, yeah. So, you know, I knew that I needed some sort of foundation to really be able to hit the entrepreneurial scene with confidence. You know, there are plenty of people who do it out of college. I wanted to, you know, kind of test out my skills,
mm-hmm.
You know, on somebody else's dime first, to be perfectly frank. You know, I think when you graduate college, it's great to be able to jump in and to have the idea at that moment. But also, until you have an idea, you don't want to be one of those people who's like, I want to be an entrepreneur, but I don't have an idea.
Right.
Because then you're kind of like grasping for straws, and it doesn't work out.
Was working for the family business an option?
Not really something I'm interested in. I'm more of a right brain type person, and this felt very more left brain to me. So I started my career at Four Seasons Hotels. I believe very much in customer centricity, and that is something that I've always believed in. And I wanted to work in who I felt was the best in customer centricity. And when you think of hospitality and, which brands stand out, Four Seasons definitely does.
Did you go through the whole training?
So I didn't. I worked in the corporate office.
Okay.
They don't have a training like Hyatt and Marriott do. It's a little bit different. I reached out through my alumni network, and I found somebody who worked there, and I was like, I have to work for you. Like, I will tell you 50 things that I can do for you that you haven't even thought of. And I found myself a role there. And I learned so much about, just building a brand, building a business around the customer always being first. And it's almost like the brand was secondary to that, which I found so powerful.
Standout moment that you recall from early in your career at Four Seasons, a situation that kind of drove that home for you that you take some inspiration from?
Yeah, I would say probably one of the... So there were a few events that we would host, right? And I remember being at an event, and I believe it was a property in Arizona. And there was this family who, I think their flight was canceled or something. They had young kids. And I just remember that, the GM of the hotel, actually, not the front desk staff, not like the GM of the hotel, came to that family. And said, I understand you have your kid here. And I believe that they were like low on like kid supplies at the time. And, being 22 or whatever, it didn't appreciate what that meant. But the GM showing such concern and, sending out his SWAT team to make that family really comfortable in a moment where they were just, they were clearly uncomfortable and stressed out by the situation, and just seeing how he diffused that situation and not only made it better but also elevated it and made it like just made such lemonade from the situation was a real moment for me.
Since then, you've become a mom.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, when you were forming the company, you were in the process.
Yes. So I started Daily Harvest when I was about 7 months pregnant.
Why?
Yeah, because I had the idea. And okay. It's one of those things where what I often hear from people is they have an idea, but it's not the right time.
Mm.
And just like, I'm a believer in Stoic philosophy.
Mm.
It's just kind of how I operate. And I'm like, I can do it now or I can do it later, but the later might not happen. So what's the worst thing that can happen from starting this now? Maybe life gets too overwhelming. I start to have some guilt about not being there for my kids or, whatever it is. But having a mother that was an entrepreneur, so knowing that, my kids would probably benefit from me not being around all the time. And just kind of having that stoic way of looking at it, I was like, I'm going to do it now because there's never going to be a good time.
But did you have the idea in part because you were 7 months pregnant and all
not
the craziness
really
that comes from you? No.
It kind of just like happened, but
okay.
I would say that there's obviously more of a need to think about your nutrition at that time in life. So I would say I absolutely was like, I really should get this together.
So what was your aha moment when you get Daily Harvest?
Yes.
Smoothies.
Right.
This is
so
it.
I started meal prepping on Sunday nights for myself and my husband. We were both early risers. We both like to go to the gym before work. We're up at like 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really wanted to be able to eat something that we felt really good about in the morning before running out the door. I found that we were eating bars. We were going to these like quick solutions that just didn't quite solve the problem for me. They solved half of it, but not the whole thing. modern eating dilemma.
Right.
So I started meal prepping and I started bagging up smoothie ingredients for myself and my husband on Sunday nights, plopping them in the freezer. And I was like, you know what? This is not only solving a problem for me, but, you know, looking at my husband, who's a wonderful guy, he can't butter toast. He's just not so great in the kitchen. Watching him be able to make something that he felt really good about and to be able to take an active role in it. So it's not just grabbing a bottle and opening it, you know, pouring something into a blender, turning it on. There's something very psychological there that I caught on to. And I was like, if he can make a smoothie that he feels really good about, that's, you know, perfect every time, takes 30 seconds, fits into his life, then there was something there. So, you know, what I did is I got myself a commercial kitchen in Long Island City. And yeah, 7 months pregnant, standing on my feet all day long, was bagging up smoothies with my right hand and my left hand, employee number one and employee number two, delivering everything in my car. You know, just really like hustling to prove out the MVP.
How'd you fund it?
So I self-funded in the beginning. It did not require a lot of capital at all because I built the website by myself. You know, I only had to, the way that I built the subscription model is I only had to fund, inventory for things that were already purchased.
Okay.
So it was just not very capital intensive and I bootstrapped for about eight months.
But you needed a commercial kitchen.
Yes, but I was able to pay for it with funds that had already come in.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I rented it by the hour.
So did you initially start out of your home then and then move to the...
No, because you can't.
Right.
In the state of New York, you cannot. That wasn't an option.
So how did you get orders?
So I started with friends and family. You know, and the metric that I set for myself to really, like, dive in head first and, you know, stop the presses on everything else in my life was when five times more people who I didn't know were ordering than those who I did. Mm-hmm. And that was, to me, when, you know, I felt that the MVP would have been proven, and it happened really quickly.
How quickly?
It would happen in about 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Nice.
And it said to me that I'd really kind of hit a chord, and I'd solved a problem for, you know, not only myself, but for other people who were looking for solutions.
And you're about 3 years in?
Two.
2 years in.
2 years in.
What can you tell
two
me?
Two and change.
What can
but we only launched nationally a year ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about some metrics, some stats on how you're doing, or how many smoothies you're delivering?
Yeah,
or?
Of course. So we've sold almost 3 million cups. So I say cups because we're not just smoothies anymore.
Right.
Which is really exciting. You know, and again, product market fit, like, it just continues to prove that we've struck a chord.
And how much do I have to pay for a cup? How does that work?
So it ranges. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's if you're in a major urban area and you're limited on freezer space, you're more likely to buy our smaller boxes. So we're $7.99. And then, you know, if you have a little bit more freezer space, maybe a freezer in your garage or in your basement, we have our 24 box, which is about $6.99 a cup. You know, for all fully organic, unrefined, whole ingredients, you know, you open our cups and you see all of those ingredients. And that's a huge differentiator. It's the same stuff that you would get at, you know, any of the juice bars that are selling, you know, high-quality organic options.
So I open up the cup and then I do what?
So you see all the ingredients, you fill it with liquid, you dump it in the blender, and 30 seconds later, you've got a smoothie.
And if I'm making nice cream, same concept?
Same concept. So what's really fun about our nice creams is we actually have a little toppings pack. So, for example, one of our flavors is a chocolate hazelnut. You open the cup, you take out the little hazelnut crumble on top, you add about a quarter cup of liquid, you pour it in the blender, you blend 30 seconds, and then you pour the toppings back on top, and you've got that, like, crunchy ice cream, you know, satisfaction.
And soups,
yeah.
All blendable.
Yes, but our soups are actually not blended.
Okay.
So our soups are, you open the cup and you see actually noodles made out, or zoodles or voodles, whatever you call them, you know, zucchini noodles, carrot noodles, butternut squash noodles made out of only vegetables, and some incredible spices and other vegetables, and you add water and you heat.
Ah, okay. are the smoothies still the most popular?
They are, but you know, they kind of came first. We also have the biggest breadth of product, so we have 14 SKUs. Where our soups right now, we only have six, but we're we only have three. We're launching three on Sunday.
Are you set up to be direct from here on out, or are you looking at larger retail that way?
Yeah, so right now I think I'm sticking to direct for a few reasons. One, as I mentioned, I think the freezer aisle is a little broken. There's a lot of misconceptions. I don't think that the customer who's looking for health and wellness solutions is necessarily shopping in the freezer aisle.
Right.
Another thing that I think is really interesting about frozen is, you know, you walk down that aisle and, you know, I don't know, it's cold. temperature, but also, you know, the feeling that you get. Like, it's covered
glass
in glass. It's glass and metal, and it's, you know, it's frosted. You can't really see or interact with the products that are there. You open the freezer, you get, like, a whoosh of cold. You also start feeling guilty that you're wasting energy, so you close that really quickly. You're not really interacting with what's inside. So I believe direct-to-consumer is definitely the way to go for frozen. You know, you can kind of understand what you're getting in a much more robust fashion by looking on our website and reading about each ingredient and understanding the nutrition profile.
We're sitting here at the NASDAQ, and I just happened to look up and see Whole Foods Market listed in 1992. Amazon just bought them. You are growing your young company in this environment where the way people buy things is changing really quickly. How much do you think about that? Or at the stage where you are, is that kind of somebody else's problem?
No, I think about it every day. I really do. And I think, you know, what's going to happen in the world of CPG is going to be really interesting because...
Consumer packaged goods,
yeah. I think that, you know, Whole Foods and Amazon are going to be a behemoth. And, you know, of course, nobody knows exactly what the plans are. You know, but I think that you know, the world of CPG is about to be very shaken up and very mixed up. You know, it's another reason why I'm very bullish on direct-to-consumer, because I believe that is the future.
You eventually did decide to raise some money to grow the business.
Yes, absolutely. When I realized that I was kind of stifling growth, you know, and the opportunity to really kind of expand and, you know, meet the vision that I had for the future of the business.
When did
I
you realize
to,
that?
About eight months in.
What happened?
I kept having these opportunities present themselves for growth, and it was just me and one other person.
So what did you need if you were going to take advantage of that? More people, more space?
I needed it all. I needed more people. I needed more space. I needed more infrastructure. I needed to be able to invest in things like equipment. You know, I needed to be able to place POs with farmers for, you know, ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of these things that come with scale were just starting to become difficult. And as soon as they started, if I wanted to continue to grow, I knew, you know, I had to be thinking 6 months down the road.
So how long ago was this?
So we closed our first round of funding a little over a year ago, mm-hmm. And very shortly after launched nationally.
And so who did you go to?
A lot of angels. We did a lot of angel investment. We used one institutional investor.
And so for people who aren't familiar with the investing world, people who tend to invest, what, less than $200,000 once?
Yep. And, you know, we cobbled together a very small round. We raised about $800,000.
That's not a lot.
It's not a lot, especially, you know, in the world of venture.
Is that intentional, or is that kind of not really being totally sure you want to raise
it? It was
a
little bit
of
both. I wasn't entirely sure it was really what I wanted to do. You know, I was at Gilt Group before starting Daily Harvest. Mm-hmm. And
retailer.
Huge retailer, e-commerce, part of what I call like e-com 1.0, mm-hmm. where, you know, they were kind of the first ones out there and they raised a lot of money. And I was a little gun-shy because of that.
Didn't want to lose control.
I didn't want to lose control. I also, you know, I think sometimes what happens, and not all investors are like this, you know, and not necessarily even the Gilt investors, you know, but I think what happens is you raise too much money too soon. You can be forced to almost grow the top line of the business artificially and, you know, lose sight on the foundation of the business and focusing on things like, oh, gas, profits.
Right. So think about all the things that you could sell versus, is this really a good idea to sell this thing? Is it going to make money long term? Is it really what the core mission of the brand is about?
Right. So, I was kind of like dabbling in it.
Okay.
And, also had built the business in a pretty asset-light fashion. And also had a great cash conversion cycle. So I was able to really, do a lot with a little.
Mm. So you're an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. the daughter of an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. another woman entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Were you prepared for some of the unique challenges that women startup founders face? Did anything surprise you?
Fundraising twice while pregnant. Was very interesting. Some people were fantastic, and I think I was surprised by how great those people are. Mm. And similarly, I was surprised by how unforward-thinking some of the others were.
Right. How did they demonstrate their lack of forward-thinking?
Yeah, so, people saying things like, won't you feel... Like, how do you plan to be a good mom and a good business owner at the same time? They're both full-time jobs. And it got to a point where I had a very strategic, canned answer to these questions that kept on coming up. And I would say, if what you're asking is if I'm 100% dedicated to seeing this business succeed, then my answer is yes. And that's how I would answer it.
Mm. Did you end up taking money from any of those investors?
Yeah, absolutely not.
So that was a deal breaker, right?
It was a hard pass. But there are people who, I don't think they meant anything by it. I really don't. I think it was more like curiosity and probably from personal experience.
Really? I mean, maybe they didn't intend to mean anything.
Well, that's what I mean.
But it signaled something.
Oh, it absolutely signaled something. And I read between the lines. It signaled to me that they didn't believe that I could do both. And they felt that, a woman had to choose between those two paths. And, having been through, two rounds of funding now, scaling her business over, 200% in a year, quadrupling my team, and having seen the growth that we've seen, and kind of looking back on it, I honestly think I'm stronger because I have these other things that I'm also, growing, like humans.
Because it makes you make tough choices,
It makes me prioritize. It makes me really efficient. I don't waste my time with things that I don't think are going to, have an ROI. And, the other thing is that I'm very strict with my schedule. So my entire team knows and everybody in my life knows that from the hours of 5:30 to 7:30, don't talk to me. I do not pick up my phone. I do not answer emails because I am home every night with my kids from 5:30 to 7:30. And I also think kind of taking that break and changing, my entire mindset for those 2 hours, it's almost like a meditation for me. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like I get that headspace and then I dive right back in at 7:30.
It's amazing what we can do with boundaries.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
How productive they make us when you know either it's I'm going to work out at this time in the morning or this time in the evening belongs to family. You get so much done around those things.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And, it's just setting the expectation up front. Even my investors now, just don't try it because I'm not going to pick up.
So where are you now in the growth trajectory and kind of fundraising process?
Yeah.
You've been through two rounds.
Yep.
When did you close your last round?
February.
Okay.
February.
So it's been a little while.
Yeah. And we're definitely looking at next steps very shortly. Something that I am very committed to is not bringing in more money into the business than is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a measure of success for startup as raising another bigger round at a higher valuation. I don't. I would like to somehow have the business start funding itself. And we're getting, that's kind of where we're headed. So this next round will be to that end.
My thanks to Rachel Drury. I'm John Fort from CNBC, and this has been Fort Knox, Rich Ideas and Powerful People. Subscribe on Apple's podcast app or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. Please do leave a review if you enjoyed this. Also, subscribe to the Fort Knox channel on YouTube, fortknox.com/YouTube. Follow me also on Facebook and Twitter. You'll see video from these interviews, and you can say hi to me live, usually Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. There I tackle some of the most interesting business and economic issues with a little help from my friends at CNBC and from you. Just go to YouTube and search for Fort Knox, or go to Facebook and search for John Fort, and you know what to do from there. Meanwhile, share this. Tell a friend, drop me a note on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or fortknox.com. That's FORTTKNOX.com. And as always, thank you for lending an ear.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.